Father, again, we're so grateful to Lord to be with you tonight, and thank you for your presence with us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you anoint this offering, Lord God, for the expenses. Again, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful facilities, Lord, that we were able to partake in. Father, we ask that you bless Caraway Camp, Lord God, and minister to all the people that come here, Lord God. Father, bless the people now, Lord God. Bless this offering. And Lord, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
While the deacons are finishing off at the back, maybe, Carol, you could get your group up here and we'll get them organized.
Would all the little ones please join me at the front? Thank you. I'll just stand there one moment. Hope. Cooper. Could you help me, Joni? Andrew, Paige. Okay, we've been learning this week about the joy of the Lord. We've learned who gives us the joy, where we have the joy, and how we can show the joy to others. Okay. And if you will notice, there's artwork over on the wall. And the children did this, and this was their verse. It's shine like lights in the world, Philippians 2:15. Most of them wanted to do a solo. A couple of them wanted to do a duet. So we're going to do a couple of songs together, and then they're going to do theirs. And we'll do one song at the beginning and one song at the end, and they'll do theirs in between. Okay. Jesus
loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me.
Hoping people will do their duet. Okay, now I'm going to ask if you would just hold your applause till the end because we got quite a few songs to get through. Thank you. Hope and Cooper. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down for the Father above. Sweep over my
next is Andrew.
I love Jesus, does he know? Have I ever told him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love him every day. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. In prayer I tell him so.
Paige?
God sees a little sparrow fall beneath his tender view. If God so loves the little birds, I know he loves me too. He loves me too, he loves me too, I know he loves me too. If God so loves the little birds, I know he loves me too.
Charity?
Hey, Billy, I know. Noah, hey Billy Ike, what a Noah Billy Ike, and came the animals two by two, the monkey and the kangaroo. Hey Billy Ike, Noah, Noah, hey Billy Ike, what a Noah Billy Ike.
Audrey?
Jesus loves me. It's written in the Bible, you can see. The Bible tells me so, oh, I know. Jesus loves me.
Gabriel?
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so, little ones do and belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Jesus loves me. That's all.
Okay. Now we've got our little lights. We're going to sing this little light of mine and hold your little lights way up high.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan push it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I hid under a bushel now. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine.
Amen. Okay. Y'all can go back to your seats.
I wish my memory was as good as theirs. Sister Amy, where's the next group, Sister Amy? Everybody in Amy's class, come on up.
You. That was fun. Okay. Where that came from? Gideon? Nathan?
And Ty.
Shama? Hannah?
That's an inventory.
Okay. Everybody's got something?
I'll take that and you take that. Sounds like a fair deal.
And I will get posters over here. But,
hello? Oh, yeah, that works. Well, we had a very good week. We had a big class, and it was really a special class. I really enjoyed this one. We had a lot of new faces that I enjoyed. And because we had such a good size class, I recruited some really good help, and that was helpful, very helpful. So thank you. You know who you are, who came and helped a lot. So this week, you may have a little hint of what we talked about. I started, this may ring a few bells, I started back in the spring thinking about what maybe God had for us this summer and what he wanted me to talk to the children about. And I thought about this beautiful new location where we were coming, and the word mountains kept coming to mind. So I started thinking about the opportunity to come away from the distractions and to listen to what God had to say to us. And so we looked at, in the scripture, how often God speaks to his people on the mountain. So we did some beautiful art projects. I really stretched them. They sewed. All these boys up here, I thought, oh, Lord, what did I plan? But I got lots of good help, and they're beautiful. And, I mean, I made the pillows, but they did the banners and the canvases and a few other things. And so they will get to take their mountains home with them and remember that God speaks to them everywhere. So if you want to put them down just maybe the step below you so you can sing, but they were troopers. But so we looked at how God spoke to different ones, and we started on Monday talking about how God spoke to Moses on the mountain. And he called Moses to deliver his people from slavery. And once he delivered them, he brought them back to the same mountain and gave them the Ten Commandments and the law. And so we're going to start with a song about Moses. Okay. You ready? I'm too close to that thing. Okay.
Moses, Moses, where have you been? Up on the mountaintop with the Lord again. Moses, Moses, now we understand. His name is Yahweh, I am who I am. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered. This is my name forever. From age to age it changes never. Moses, Moses, where have you been? Up on the mountaintop with the Lord again. Moses, Moses, now we understand. His name is Yahweh, I am who I am. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered. This is my name forever. From age to age it changes never. Moses, Moses, did you hear a soar? High on the mountaintop listening to the Lord. Moses, Moses, now we understand.
So on Tuesday, we talked about the temple on Mount Zion and how they prepared their hearts to go worship at the temple. We read the songs of ascents in Psalms and talked about how we need to prepare our hearts when we go to meet with the Lord. So we're going to sing, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." So I don't think we need the poster for this one. Okay, I'm going to stand over here.
Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, and the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, and the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
On Wednesday, we talked about how God spoke to Elijah when he was discouraged, and he went to the mountain, and God came and spoke to him in a whisper. And when we want to hear God, sometimes we have to be very quiet and be still and listen. So we're going to try to sing this new song, just the chorus of "Be Still and Know That I'm God." So,
be still and know
yesterday and today we talked about how Jesus came and ministered on the mountains. He taught the Sermon on the Mount, and he was transfigured on the mountaintop, and he prayed on the Mount of Olives before his arrest, and then he was crucified on Calvary's mountain. So we're going to close with thank you, God, for sending Jesus.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus, that you came.
And I appreciate that.
Sister Rebecca. Sister Rebecca's group is next. I've lost. Oh! They're so prepared, I wasn't prepared for them. Oh, you aren't going to take this? Ooh, I give it to up there? Do you just want to hold this so we can hear you?
This week we learned about the verse, John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so they will be even more fruitful.
We learned how Joseph is a fruitful vine and made our own coats of many colors and learned about his story and how we can praise him and be fruitful.
Here, hold this.
Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And we want to encourage y'all to do the same. Y'all.
You will be praised.
I guess we know what maturing in the Lord means for those three groups, I'll tell you. The last group, if you would come forward, I'm stepping out here because I'm bound to get run over. As they set up, I'm not going to put words in our three sisters' mouths, but I think I'm speaking on their behalf too, is that these young ones and young people, or whatever you want to call them, are certainly a joy to work with. I know the smile on Amy's face as she was working, and Rebecca as she came forward. It's a spiritual pride we have in seeing the development and growth of these young people and knowing that their hearts seek the Lord. And I, for one, as working with this group, am so thankful that I am given the privilege of doing what little part I do. Now, where's John? Remember, you're the leader, so I give this to you now. They voted you. Start them off.
All right.
Get up for John.
All right. Yeah, we're just going to sing.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you.
just before they sit down, this is impromptu. So all the other groups that have been up, could you come up and stand with this group, please? All of you, right down to Ella. I don't want... This is going on the front of a magazine, guys, so you got to be seen. We have a tradition in Stratford at our Hidden Acres camp that either on the last day or near the last day of our weekend together, we put all the young people together, and I wish I had a group this size, but, and I'm going to, as soon as Andy stops taking his pictures, I'm going to ask Andy to stand and bless this group of young people. May a blessing be upon you.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for these wonderful young people. We truly love them, and to us, they're a treasure. Every one of them, dear Lord, we pray your mighty blessings on every one of them. I just pray that you would keep each one in the hollow of your hand, protect them and guide them through this journey of life, dear Lord. Help them to walk straight and not to the left or to the right. Bless them mightily and abundantly, and bless their parents, we pray, dear Lord, and grandparents and aunts and uncles and all those around them that are also helping guide them. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can sit down now, guys. Thank you very much.
That was wonderful. Amen? Amen. Good to have our young people here. We truly love and respect every one of them. I didn't want my message to be too dry there, so I had to drink a little water. I just have a couple short things I'm going to share with you tonight. We've had a lot of good teaching this week, haven't we? A lot of good, very wonderful things. And there's a party tonight, not a party, but a wiener rolls pizza roast time for the young people tonight. So we won't be having a long service. I was thinking David Heim, and when he was up here preparing us for baseball, he made a comment, which we don't hear a lot in our neck of the woods. He talked about putting some suntan lotion on. He made the comment of rednecks. Of there being rednecks in this area. And we've all heard that term, and we don't use it much in Colorado, but, you know, a redneck isn't just being burnt, sunburned. I guess it's more of a way of life, too, right? So I thought I'd look some things up, and you probably heard some of these about. This is simply called things that a redneck would never, ever say. So these are things you would never hear a redneck say. So if you know some so-called rednecks, maybe you know what this means. Okay, here's some things that a redneck would never say. I'll take Shakespeare for 1,000, Alex. Duct tape won't fix that. We don't keep firearms in this house. You can't feed that to the dog. I thought Graceland was kind of tacky. No kids in the back of the pickup? It's not safe. Professional wrestling's fake. Keep in mind, these are things that a redneck would never, ever say. Honey, did you mail that donation to Greenpeace? We're vegetarians. Do you think my hair is too big? I'll have grapefruit instead of biscuits and gravy. Honey, these bonsai trees need watering. I don't understand the appeal of NASCAR. Give me the small bag of pork rinds. Deer heads detract from the decor. Spitting is such a nasty habit. I just couldn't find a thing at Walmart today. Trim the fat off that steak, please. The tires on that truck are too big. Unsweetened tea tastes better. I notice a lot of sweet tea drinkers in this area here. Would you like your fish poached or broiled? My fiancé is registered at Tiffany's. Does a salad bar have bean sprouts? Hey, here's an episode of Hee Haw that we haven't seen yet. I don't have a favorite college football team. Be sure to bring my salad dressing on the side. I believe you cooked those green beans too long. Elvis who? And then the last one that you would never hear a redneck say, checkmate. I'm going to read one short verse, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And there's a law of sowing and reaping. You've all heard it, the law of sowing and reaping. Just like the scripture that I read. Number one, you reap what you sow. If you sow trouble, you're going to reap trouble. If you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. You reap later than what you sow. When you sow, you don't immediately reap it. And you reap greater than what you sow. So there's 3 points to the law of sowing and reaping. And that's pretty profound, actually. You reap what you sow, you reap later than when you sow it, and you reap greater than when you sow it. When your parents are investing in your kids, you may not see dividends right away, but you will see them. You will actually see them for generations. Actually, your dividends will go beyond you and your time with your children. I'm sure that I'm benefiting, and my kids and my grandkids, things that my parents and my grandparents did. They're benefiting from those things. You reap what you sow. So I got just a few thoughts, very short thoughts for you, some pointers. Stop and think before you drink. But I'd like to go further than that. I would encourage all you young people to never drink at all, period. Now, you know, if a person drinks alcohol, there's only, I don't know what the chances are of becoming an alcoholic, 2%, I don't know, 5%, 10%. It's small. You know, if you start drinking alcohol, you're not guaranteed to become an alcoholic. There's only a small percentage of you that would. But I can promise you that if you never drink alcohol, you never will become an alcoholic. That I can promise. Imagine climbing in a car. Looking at a car, and the salesman says, hey, we got this great car over here, we got a great deal. And only 5% of the people that drive it get killed. Would you say, oh, yeah, I want to buy that, sign me up. So anyway, just don't drink. Simple one. The world may do that, but you don't need to. Don't let your parents down, they brought you up. Keep in mind the testimony that you are to your parents. Don't let your parents down. Honor and respect. And the Bible says to honor and respect your parents. Be humble enough to obey. You will be giving orders someday. That's been mentioned several times throughout these meetings. Submission and obedience is not some horrible, horrible thing. Obedience, learning to obey, brings freedom. Brings freedom in the church, brings freedom in your life, protects you. Learn to obey. Listen to your boss. Listen to your school teachers. Listen to your elders. God places authority everywhere, not just in the church, but everywhere. Learn to be humble enough to obey. You'll be giving orders someday. David Luff talked about this. At the first moment, turn away from unclean thoughts. At the very first moment, you start getting bad thoughts. People are talking about bad things. Excuse yourself. David talked about rolling your eyes, just changing your eyes, looking somewhere else. But when unclean thoughts come, or more than just thoughts, if you're with friends and the conversation goes a direction that it shouldn't be going, just step out of it. Excuse yourself from it. Just step away from it. Don't show off driving. If you want a race, go to Indianapolis. And that is true if you're teenagers or young people that are driving. Don't show off. Don't be in a hurry to get your license. When you do, be careful. Don't show off. You don't need to show off to anybody. These are all very short points. Choose a date who would make a good mate. When you're dating, there's a lot. The scripture has a lot of advice on that. Don't be unequally yoked. And you look for someone that you can walk together with. We can talk all night about just that. But you have things in common with. You can walk together, being equally yoked in many different ways. You do that, and once again, you'll have dividends the rest of your life. Go to church faithfully. The Creator gives you a week. Give Him an hour or two. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting another one another, and even the more so as the day draweth nigh. Go to church. Go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. We talked about that a week ago, actually. Every Sunday, take time. Go and worship God with your family. Take them to church. Take your kids to church. I can remember as a little child, the Snokes at the Church of the Brethren, we had the very back pew. There were four boys, my mom and dad. My dad would sit there with his arm around my mom and then us four boys. And I couldn't tell you a thing about what was said in those services, but I can still have that. I had that pleasant picture. Every Sunday, we went to church. That's what you did. On Sunday, you went to church. And I grew up, and I knew that that's what you do. You go to church. But go to church every Sunday. Go to at least one regional camp a year. If you can go to more than one, wonderful. But go to at least one each year. Choose your companions carefully. You are what they are. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you choose as a friend. Someone said, if you want to see your future, look around you at your friends right now. What kind of people do you associate with? You know, as a young person, young people, everybody, particularly young people, everybody wants a friend. Everyone wants to be included and be popular and be a friend. It is better to have no friends than it is to have the wrong friends. It's better to be lonely than it is to have the wrong friends. One of the most powerful forces in the world is peer pressure. Peer pressure makes young people do things that they would never think of doing because of peer pressure. Because they want to be included and part of the crowd. Choose your companions carefully. You are what they are. Avoid following the crowd. Be an engine, not a caboose. Don't follow the crowd. That's a tough one. But you don't have to follow the crowd. You be the leader, not the caboose. Be master of your habits, or they will master you. You know, you got some bad habits right now, whatever they are, anything. Swearing, smoking, sleeping in too late, playing video games all night long. Whatever your bad habits are, get a hold of them right now. Corral them right now, or they will master you. Learn to control your bad habits, or they will master you. Create good habits. Work at creating good habits. Good habits. Getting up early. Working hard and diligently wherever you work. Whatever you do in the workforce, work as if you're serving the Lord. And your boss may not notice, but I promise you God will notice. And He will open up something for you. Work as unto the Lord. Good habits. Learning to study. We talked to one wonderful young university student here in these meetings that is, it's summer vacation right now, school hasn't started, and she purchased her books for the semester coming up, And she's studying them now to get a head start, to get a jump on. And I thought, wow, that's a really good habit. She doesn't have to, but she is. That's a great habit. So be master of your habits or they will master you. Treasure your time. Don't spend it. Invest in it. Don't just waste your time. Invest into it. This is a good one. Stand for something or you will fall for anything. Learn to take a stand. You know, the world, your friends, our friends, people around us, you may not realize that they're looking for somebody to take a stand. A good stand. Everyone is, if you don't take a stand, you'll fall for anything. Just because the political system and the system of philosophy is going a certain direction, we don't have to follow it. And we can take a stand. If something's not right, I don't mean you have to be rude to people, but we don't have to follow it, do we? Take a stand or you will fall for something. Stand for something or you will fall for anything. See what you can do for others, not what they can do for you. See how you can serve other people. See what you can do for other people. Don't just look for people that do stuff for you. Find a way to help other people. This next one goes along with what I said earlier. Guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts, what you think you are. Once again, guard, protect what you see, what you say, what you think. Guard your thoughts. Don't go, don't go places that fosters wrong thoughts. You know, we are sheep. Sheep are easily swayed. Every one of us in this room is easily swayed by what you see and by what you hear. Every one of us. If that weren't true, that's why McDonald's will spend $1 million for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl, because by giving you a picture and a song, they can make you think you need that Big Mac or whatever it is. We're easily persuaded. And your thought patterns, if there are things that are drawing you down the wrong roads, learn to stop it. Learn to get away from that. Don't fill up on the world's crumbs. Feed your soul on the living bread. The world has nothing to offer you. They have nothing to offer you. Feed your soul on the living bread. Give your all to Christ. He gave his all for you. One short verse here, King Josiah, 2 Kings 22. God loves everybody. He loves young people. He loves everybody. And some of you kids here might think that walking with God is for older people. It's not. One of the more famous kings and instrumental kings, of course, was King David, but there's another one named Josiah. And Josiah, 2 Kings 22, it's the 22nd chapter, first verse. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. God is moving in an 8-year-old. It's kind of amazing. God moves in young people all the time. Daniel, powerful prophet. Powerful, unbelievable, the things that he saw. And he was advisor to at least 3 kingdoms and to a number of kings. Powerful man. He comes on the scene at 17 years old. God is using him at 17 years old. Jesus, the first time he's ministering, he's 12 years old. So God uses young people, very young people. He uses all of us. But this first verse, I like this, 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became a king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2, this is the key verse to the entire chapter. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Wow. That's what he was known for. He was known, very simply, for doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. What a testimony. And he walked in all the ways of his father David. And listen to this. You've heard this verse in prophecies all the time. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Here's an 8-year-old that God called to be king, and forever he's known as a man that walked right in the sight of the Lord. Walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. What a testimony. He just did things right. He learned to do things right. Learn to do things right as a young person. Learn to do things right as as at any age, learn to please the Lord. Josiah came onto the scene and they found the Word of God. They hadn't been reading the Word of God. They didn't have the Word of God. After he read it, he realized that Israel was in for a lot of troubles because they were not obeying the Lord. They weren't following the Scriptures. And there was a prophecy given to him, and he knew they were in trouble as a nation. And the prophecy, a prophet came to him and told him that concerning the words which you have heard, this is what God said, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard it, what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. You tore your clothes and wept before me, God says, and I heard you. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So in other words, he realized that Israel was in big trouble because they were disobedient to God, and he knew that God keeps track of things. God is real good at math. He really is. And Josiah knew that Israel was in trouble because they had disobeyed God for so long. So the Lord speaks to him and says, you know, you're right, Josiah. The whole nation is going to pay because of their sins, but not you, because you were humble and you were obedient. And that's an example of how you can escape tribulation. Tribulation can be all around us, but if we learn to walk obediently with the Lord, there's a place of safety there. I mentioned to you the other day briefly in Daniel, they went into captivity for 70 years as punishment. That was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. And for 490 years before that, they were not obeying the Sabbath year. Every seventh year, you're supposed to set it aside. Let your land just rest on the Sabbath year, every seventh year. And they didn't do that for 490 years. They kept planning. They kept saying, you know, we can make some money here. And God is really good at keeping track of things. So they owed God 70 years. And then along comes a generation, Nebuchadnezzar invades Jerusalem, brings the inhabitants into Babylon for 70 years. For 70 years. And I thought of that. There's many implications to that. A person can say, I don't need to tithe. I tell you what, you and I believe in tithing. I believe in tithing. I don't just believe it, I know it. It's been proven to me personally in my life a million times, including you. I could say, but here's something interesting. I don't know how this works. If you don't want to tithe, this is crazy. God has a way of taking it. You know, I'll speak personally. God will take my meager finances and just expands them, you know. Or I can make a whole bunch more money and say, you know, I don't think I want to tithe anymore. And all of a sudden the washer goes out and the dryer goes out and the car goes out. And you still end up spending all of this money. And we and you have seen that happen thousands of times. I've talked many times that God has blessed me with Garage Sale Sally, my wife here. She's a wonderful woman and takes our money and goes to garage sales and the Goodwill store, and we have tremendous nice clothes and nice things that we pay pennies on the dollar. And I think one of the reasons that we see these things, or she does, is because we tithe. God provides. So anyway, you walk with God. God keeps track of these things, and he will repay. I know a church. It's a very large church, about 16,000 people in Denver. And they believe in tithing. This is pretty amazing. They believe in tithing, and they teach tithing. Just 10%. Tithing is 10%. One day, they made this statement. They got a hold of this huge church, multi-million-dollar church, good church. They actually made the statement from the pulpit. They said, ladies and gentlemen, they had lots of new people there all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in tithing. The Bible says to tithe. But Jesus, God even says in Malachi, the third chapter, prove me and test me. I dare you. Test me with your tithe and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He says, this is one of the few times in the Bible where you can test God. You're not supposed to test God. You're not supposed to say, Lord, if you love me, make it rain. You're not supposed to do that. But he did say with tithes, you prove me. I dare you. Test me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven with their tithes. This is what the church did. They met with their financial advisors. They got up and said, ladies and gentlemen, we believe in tithing. We encourage you to tithe. We're going to ask that you tithe. And we're going to make a guarantee. You give us 30 days of tithing. At the end of 30 days, if you don't find that God is blessing you, we will give you your money back. Now, we're not doing that. Don't get any ideas. But what a bold statement. You know, I really thought that was quite amazing. They believed in that much that God said, prove it, and we're going to prove it. You tithe, and you look at your life, and if God hasn't blessed you, you haven't seen something happening, we'll give you your money back. Well, the last thing on earth you want to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, can I have my money back? But nevertheless, I thought that was quite a statement there. So God has a lot of good things for us. God is in the blessing business, which comes by simply being obedient to the Lord. There's lots of other things I could share, but I'll just share just a couple things. You know, once again, I mentioned, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world swallow you up and mold you into the philosophy and the direction of the world. There's so many things we could talk about in that, but you know what I'm talking about. There's so many things you can get pulled into. When you go to college, first off, I would encourage everyone, every young person, to get the education you need to do the work that God has given you to do. Get the education that you need. Go to school. Boys and girls, go to school and get the education that you need. Someone shared this with me in the meeting. I'm going to share it with you. Girls, I'm going to use her words. A man is not a financial plan. Don't say that, my future, I'm not going to go to college, I'm not going to get a job, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to get married. That's not a plan. It might work, but it might not work. It might be better to have a plan to look to the Lord for your vocation, get the skills and education you need to support yourself, and if God gives you a husband, praise the Lord. But anyway, I just stole that out there for free. But when you go to college, I would like to encourage you as young people going to college, don't look for a dream degree. Don't look for a dream job or a dream degree. Look for something that you like that you can make a living at doing. Amen. You know, you may have a dream job. Your dream job is, I want to make sandcastles on the beaches of Southern California. I want to make a living making sandcastles in Southern California. You could go to school for 8 years to build sandcastles. You could get a degree in sandcastle building, if there is such a thing. But you might have troubles making a living making sandcastles. So don't just follow your dream job. Follow the dream career, the dream education that will pay the bills. Be logical. Get the skills that you need to do your work. When you go to school, by the way, when you go to university, when you go to college, this is what happens. I'm going to give you a warning. If you're a professor here tonight, don't get mad at me. But in general, college is like this. Go to college, learn all the technical skills that you can. Learn them. But in college, it's like taking a giant blackboard and writing what you believe in. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that God created me for a purpose. I don't believe I just appeared out of nowhere, out of evolution. Just write them out there. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in marriage as a man and a woman. You know, write down all of those things there. When you go to college, when you go to university, it's almost as if many of the professors, not all of them, are trying to take an eraser over 4 years and slowly erase as many of those truths that are in your heart as they possibly can. You know, we've all known people that, great, solid people, and then they go to college and all of a sudden these things they believed in, they're just kind of evaporated. Why? Because professors, teachers have authority and they hear this message all day long, and and it slowly erodes. So the only thing I'm saying is take a stand. You got to take a stand and be strong when you do these things. Lots of good things. There's all kinds of good information the Lord has given us. You know, one of the things is when you're dating, the Bible talks about in Hebrews about the marriage bed being honorable, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. When it comes to intimacy, God has created that for marriage. It doesn't matter what you see on TV or the radio stations or Netflix or wherever you watch, get your entertainment. But there are some things that God has created, and we're not going to go into all that tonight, but created it for only in marriage. And by the way, when you're dating, I want to throw this out there again. I've got a lot of stuff I'm giving you for free. When you're dating boys and girls, I want you to be careful. Be careful with physical, how would I say it, displays. God created us that we are stimulated by touch. And when you're with a member of the opposite sex, you should just be careful and respectful to that person when you're dating and the whole bit, because it sends all kinds of messages that can get you in trouble if you're not careful about that. Just be respectful and honorable to one another. So anyway, there's a lot of other things I could share, but I don't think I will tonight. I wanted at the conclusion of this to pray for all the young people, but we did that before I even started tonight. And we're going to let you out a little early tonight. You have your program here a little bit later. So I'm going to thank you for that. I'm going to let whoever's making an announcement regarding that to come up here, and you'll be adjourned a little earlier tonight. So unless Brother David has some closing thoughts. No? Okay. All right. Anyone has an announcement, you come up here so they can get prepared for the night, for the evening.
Okay, well, the fellowship tonight for the young people, the pizzas are being delivered at 9:30. The ride to the top of the mountain is at 9:30, all right here in front of the community center, so conference center. So the idea is we wanted to break a little bit early, and we got plenty of time, is to go back to your room, put on your jeans and your mountain clothes, get your flashlights because it's going to be dark. And then we're going to meet here, and then we'll be going as a group in one or two or three loads up. We're going to get the wagon, the hay wagon, but without the hay, and go up there and have a nice campfire and good fellowship and stuff. So about 9:30 right out here is where we'll start.
Thank you. We felt like it would be a good thing to go ahead and mention this twice. Once tonight and once tomorrow, since these are new surroundings, regarding the close of the camp, keep in mind that there's no need to clean your room. You don't need to wipe the sinks or scrub the tubs or anything like that. Just if there's a major issue, then you need to let the front office know that. Like if you've spilled a gallon of paint or something on the floor, which I doubt is going to happen, but you know what I mean. If there's something that needs attention and, you know, assist them in any way that you can to help them clean up. As far as I know, there's nothing like that. This also applies to the boys' dorm, and I'm sure it's pristine by now. Linens should be placed in the floor. They're going to have to recycle them anyway. Parents, please check the rooms that your children have been staying in to make sure that things are in order as well. I know that you've seen the plastic cards that hold your room keys and the announcements that are made, visual announcements that are constantly being made throughout the facilities that... at 10 a.m., our keys no longer work on the door. That's not true, hopefully. I'm not going to make any promises about 12B, but I think the rest of you are probably okay. So disregard that. But we will need to be off the grounds by 2. They've got another group that's coming in tomorrow, and they've got a lot of cleaning to do. So we're going to need some volunteers to check rooms tomorrow after folks have kind of moved their belongings out of each of those rooms. So if you can see Dave Heath after this service, the room check should be pretty straightforward and should happen quickly because we're all in one location, and if we can get a team of 6 to 8 people, we could probably have it done in 15 minutes or less. So please see Dave Heath regarding that. As part of that, we're asking you to, as we've done in past, if you have, some of you have tables in your rooms, others have dressers. If you have dressers, just open the drawers on those so that when we come in, it's a quick glance and all we have to do is close those drawers. What we're doing is looking for items left behind. Yeah, and certainly that doesn't happen. but keep that in mind as well. You can return your keys in the basket. We had originally planned on having someone actually accepting them and then reconciling them. We don't need to do that. Just put your keys in the basket that's on the counter at the front office. One of the things we're going to ask you to do, because it's going to be a little chaotic tomorrow, be patient with one another, and let's do our best not to block the driveway. Let's leave room for folks to come through there with their vehicles so they can load up, because we're asking a lot of you. You know, we're going to have lunch, and then you're being kicked out in less than 2 hours. So, you know, we'll work with you, and the staff here will work with you. But let's try to keep that area clear. Just one question. I think we have everyone squared away with rides to the airport. Is there anyone who is in need of a ride to the airport? Okay, I think we're good. Yes? Lost and found. There's some items on the table back there. We've got some suntan lotion and some, I'm not sure what that is. Socks, some very nice socks, and a hat, and some towels. If any of those items are yours, or I guess at this point, if you wish to have any of those items, help yourself. Let's stand, please. We'll close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today, how faithful you have been to us, Lord, and we are so appreciative, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry we have received from the children and the young people tonight, and how your hand has been upon them and how you have blessed them. Lord, we ask that you continue to do so for each of them and for each of us, Lord. Bless our fellowship tonight. We pray for a wonderful time for the young people as they gather on the top of the mountain, Lord. They have a wonderful time of fellowship and gathering together. Lord, you keep them safe and that you bless them. Bless our time as we fellowship here, Lord, in the dining hall, Lord. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.